Father God, we do indeed pray that there will be love, that there will be love shared among us, that there will be love inspired this morning. And may my words inspire us to love you more and to love others more deeply and more sincerely. In Jesus' name, amen. We are continuing to make our way through the letter of 1 Thessalonians this morning, Everyday Faith, as Peter reminded us already. And when I first read the passage that we heard this morning, I thought, seems to be a relatively straightforward passage where Paul is missing his friends in Thessalonica. He can't visit them, so he decides to send Timothy instead, and he's quite pleased by the response he gets back from Timothy. So I read it a few more times, and after a few more readings, it still seemed to be quite a straightforward passage where Paul is missing his friends in Thessalonica, wants to visit, decides to send Timothy instead, and then gets pleased by the response he hears. So finally, the message got through. Maybe the main focus of this passage is that Paul was missing his friends in Thessalonica, couldn't visit them, decides to send Timothy to strengthen and encourage them, and is pleased by the report. And in fact, middle verse in 3, verse 2, he actually says, we sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. And it would fit with the overall title of Everyday Faith, that the questions I'd like us to explore this morning are, how do we strengthen and encourage one another? And what's the aim? Second question, what's the aim? What's the purpose of strengthening and encouraging one another? Why should we? What is it in order to do? In my jobs, I chair meetings quite regularly, and I have, in fact, been on courses on how to chair meetings, and yet still I frustrate and annoy my lead administrator by refusing to follow the agenda exactly point by point. Because if there's a connection or I get distracted, then we move on to another point. So apologies if you would be likewise annoyed by me. But I'm actually going to do the two questions in reverse order and look at question two first. So why should we strengthen and encourage one another? What's the purpose? And Paul conveniently, at the end of the passage we've had read out this morning, gives us two overall reasons, aims, purposes, for our lives, why we should be strengthened and encouraged in our faith. And they're true for all of us. Now, each one of us is an individual. We all have our own setting, context, where we are, where we're serving God. We all have our own giftings, and there will be specific aims and things, I'm sure, that you feel burdened off God that you should be doing. But let me suggest that these other two are true for all of us. So the last couple of verses that we had read out, verse 12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else. We are to strengthen and encourage one another that our love may overflow, not just for those of us here, not just for those of us who we'd call friends, but for everyone else. And some of us find it easier to love those near to us, to love those who are sat next to us on a Sunday or we spend time with during the week, and may find it harder to love those at work or people in the street. For others, it might be the other way around, but we're called to love everyone. And that love to increase and overflow. And I'm encouraged by that because I know my love has potential to increase. And I'd love that to increase and overflow. And secondly, our other aim, verse 13, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. We're to be strengthened to become blameless and holy, to get some of the sin, some of that sin stuff sorted out in us. In the next chapter, it goes on to talk about some very overt sins, sins of sexual immorality. And they certainly do need to be sorted. But I think for many of us, we are aware that the sins, the stuff that needs sorting out in our lives, is internal stuff, stuff that people can't see. It's that selfishness or the lack of empathy, the lack of care. And so we're to strengthen and encourage one another to become more like Jesus, to get that stuff sorted out in our lives. So that's the aim. So back to question one. How do we strengthen and encourage one another? And there are lots and lots of different ways. We're all different sorts of people. But one here we have is that Paul sent Timothy. Now, if there's any young people in the audience, you may be thinking, well, why didn't you just send an email instead of sending Timothy hundreds of miles to spend a lot of money and a lot of time to visit? Now, we all know, obviously, that there was no internet in those days. There was no emails or Facebook or WhatsApp or the rest of it. But let's imagine there's not even any telephones. And I'm not talking about the mobile things that we carry in our pockets, or many of us do. Even, do you remember those phones with those leads that went into the wall? We still have one, actually. Some of us still have them, don't they? But there weren't even any of those. And even more bizarre, there was no postal service. So we talk about letters, and we have lots of the letters, don't we, in the New Testament. But there was no post box to put them in. They would actually, Paul would have to give it to someone like Timothy to then travel all the way, hundreds of miles sometimes, to give to people. So there's no way of transferring any greetings or questions apart from actually sending people. But to be honest, probably the most common way, certainly for me, that I've been strengthened and encouraged over the years is by visiting people face to face. The time I remember most vividly is when we lived in Tunisia, North Africa, for several years. And there were two or three friends, a couple of Tunisians and an American who I would meet probably at least fortnightly, and did so for many years, where we would strengthen and encourage one another, talk about life over a small cup of tea or a small cup of coffee. They were always small, always very strong, but always small cups of tea and coffee. And that was probably the most significant times of encouragement that I've had in my years of being a Christian. But sometimes it can actually involve visiting or traveling a bit further. One of the friends that I used to meet with regularly was a friend called Yassine. And in those days, he wasn't married. And we talked about that quite a lot. And I'd always said to him, you know, when you get married, I'm coming. I'm going to come and visit. So, lo and behold, in July, I get an email from Yassine saying, I'm getting married in 3 weeks' time. Thanks for the notice, Yassine. But I did manage to, had to change some work shifts, had to move some things around, pay a bit more than I would have normally have paid to go and visit. But it was obviously a very significant time, and I traveled probably most of a day to get to where his family lived. And he was very, very touched, very moved by the fact that I'd make all that effort to come and see him. And I only had two or three days there. It's one of the most bizarre two or three days I've had, certainly in recent times. One day of which involved buying the sheep. So his family would slaughter, in fact, it was his wife's family, needed to slaughter a sheep for the party, the dinner. So we went shopping to buy the sheep. No Tesco's, no Sainsbury's. And we actually had to drive out into the countryside, go and visit a guy who owned 30 or 40 sheep, and then decide which one of these sheep we wanted to buy. And the most bizarre part was when my friend Yassine said to me, so, you know, Brother Hugh, as he used to always call me, which one looks meziene? Meziene means beautiful. So I was like, what? Which one looks beautiful? I said, but Yassine, we're going to eat it. Does it really matter what it... But for him, it was very important that we bought a beautiful sheep for his family. And then even more bizarrely, Yassine and myself and the sheep traveled in his car 200 miles to go and visit his family, and so we could present them with this sheep. So sometimes strengthening and encouraging one another might involve some bizarre things or even traveling afar, but normally it's not quite that extreme. Lots of different ways we can do this, and we're all very different. I want you just to spend a few seconds just thinking about how are you strengthened and encouraged? How do other people strengthen and encourage you to love others more deeply and to become more like Jesus? Hopefully, you've got one or two ideas, which may or may not link with some of what I'm going to say now. Before I move on, actually, I must just say that this is actually quite an enjoyable, fun talk to give, because it's like literally preaching to the converted. Those of you who I know do this. We've been in St. Barnabas for several years now, and our family have felt very strengthened and encouraged by many, many people. And so this is one of these talks not to challenge you to say, you must start doing this, but actually to say, those of you who I know you're already doing this. And it's just a friendly call to keep doing what you're doing and to remind you how important it is, because this changes people, this changes our lives. So how else do we strengthen and encourage one another? Well, I have to admit, apart from that time in Tunisia, most of the time I spend with people being strengthened and encouraged is whilst we're doing things. And a wise person suggested to me last week, that they thought that women often strengthen and encourage one another or spend time together face to face, and with men it's often side by side, doing things rather than over a cup of tea or coffee. I don't know how true that is for all of us, but I thought, oh, that did ring true, certainly for me. So often it's doing things. Last weekend, I cycled the coast to coast with a few friends, some of whom are attendees here. And I'd like to say that we spent a lot of time strengthening and encouraging one another, but in fact, we seem to spend a lot of time discussing roundabouts and the pros and cons of roundabouts. So next time you see Chris Hatton, if you know him, he will tell you many hours of conversations we had about roundabouts. But we did have some time strengthening and encouraging one another. I have another friend who we run together when we can get round to it. And we talk about life, and we often end up talking about our prayer lives or our families, how we're trying to love our families more or be an inspiration at work. And I still remember vividly some of the conversations, some of the challenges that he's given me that have strengthened and encouraged me to continue to love others and to sort my own junk out. There are other ways that are actually mentioned in this letter of 1 Thessalonians, of ways that we can strengthen and encourage one another. Chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord." Imitators or role models. Looking back, I'm sure many of us can remember role models or heroes that we've had over the years. My father-in-law, Ken Whiteway, always teases me about the fact that I used to have a list of heroes, and he'd always want to know, well, was he on the list? And let me tell you a secret, because he's not here. He was on the list. It's okay. But the list would often change. And looking back, actually, I was thinking, to start with, there often tended to be, people I'd obviously read about, Martin Luther King or other people like that, or great men or women who'd done great things that I'd even met. There was a guy called Alan Cameron who, even in his 70s, was traveling up and down the jungle in South America, and he inspired, encouraged us to do some trips with him. But nowadays, I think it's the people, not so much the people doing great things, but as Mother Teresa would say, the people doing little things with great love who inspire me and challenge me to be more like them. But let's also remember that there will be others that we are influencing, that there may even be other people, younger people, watching what we do and imitating us. So let's keep loving, encouraging, and strengthening one another. Another way we can do it is through prayer. And again, that's mentioned a few times in 1 Thessalonians about Paul praying for his friends at Thessalonica. And prayer is indeed intricately linked with loving one another and our love deepening for each other and for everyone else. Let me read some words from a church historian who's talking about the early Christians. And she says, "For them, prayer connects us with God and others. It is part of this enterprise of learning to love. Prayer is much more than a technique. And early Christians left us no definitive how-to manual on prayer. Rather, the desert fathers and mothers believed that prayer was a disposition of holiness, so that prayer and our life must be all of one piece. They approached prayer as a practical twofold process, first of thinking and reflecting or pondering what it means to love others, and second, as the development and practice of loving ways of being." In other words, these ancients taught that prayer was participation in God's love, the activity that takes us out of ourselves and conforms us to the path of Christ. So, twofold process of pondering what it means to love others and the development and practice of loving ways of being. So, whatever else our prayers do, they are changing us and changing us to become more like Jesus, to become more loving towards one another. Other ways, caring. It's interesting in chapter 2, which we looked at a bit last week, Paul talks about caring in a couple of ways. In verse 7 in chapter 2, he says, "We were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children." And then a few later on, I'm sure not coincidentally, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God." So we can strengthen and encourage one another by caring for each other as a mother and a father care for their children. And everything I'm going to say this morning, I think this is the one that is currently challenging me the most, about being a comfort to others. And it may seem bizarre, I have to do it at work. Not only do I have to do it at work, I teach others to do it. And yet for me, it's still a challenge to comfort others. Another way is by serving each other. We've sang already, haven't we, about serving one another. And Paul, this great apostle who wrote all these amazing words, served others. He talks about working amongst the Thessalonians with his hands, doing a job. He basically went to work to earn money whilst he was with them so he wouldn't be a burden to them. And many of us maybe feel we don't have the words to say, whether it be face-to-face or other means to encourage and strengthen one another. But we can serve others to encourage them. We can do it practically, in practical ways, or practical gifts, which is just as important. How else? One way that you might have thought of, I won't ask if you did or not, but one way you might have thought would be some of the activities we do on a Sunday morning. They're here really to serve and to encourage and strengthen each other, maybe through the singing or through the chatting. Might even, dare I suggest, be through the sermon to strengthen and encourage one another. I won't embarrass you by asking to put your hand up if you thought of that. Now you can think of it. And we all have our different likes and dislikes. We do with sermons as well. I remember I first started giving talks in a church context in my 20s. And my grandmother, who was the only Christian in our family, was absolutely horrified. Horrified not only that I was giving talks because I was only in my 20s, but also that I would speak for more than half an hour at a time. For her, a godly sermon was 6 minutes long. Exactly. Couldn't be five. Couldn't be seven. Had to be 6 minutes. That's what she liked. In contrast, we used to visit Guyana in South America, as I mentioned before. And for them, it had to be long. Everything had to be long. You could say things over and over again as you walked up and down in the front of the church, but had to be long. In fact, Sundays had to be a good, half an hour plus. Midweek meeting had to be longer than an hour. And I struggled to speak for longer. I managed it. Won't be doing that today, you'll be glad to hear. But I managed it. But for them, that was what they were used to. That was what would strengthen and encourage them. For me, I really like 20 minutes that I tend to do here. It doesn't seem too short. I can tell one or two stories, but not long enough to completely bore people and enough to get the message over. So we all have our likes and dislikes. And thinking about just finding other ways that we strengthen and encourage one another, other activities that we may do as formal activities, as part of the church family here, or informal. So it might be small groups, certainly over the years, small groups of other Christians have strengthened, encouraged me. It might be one-to-one, and often meeting with someone one-to-one, even saying to them, can we support each other? Can we strengthen and encourage and challenge one another, our ways? It might even be with all this modern technology stuff that people talk about. When I was young, it was basically we had books, didn't we? So it was a sermon on a Sunday and then books if we wanted to read more. But now there's many other ways that we can get input. I listened to a weekly podcast from quite a good speaker who inspires me. I get a daily email from someone called Richard Rohr, a Franciscan speaker and writer, from which actually I got the passage about prayer from. And that strengthens and encourages me. And finally, there may be specific times in our life where actually we want to do something a bit more drastic to get strengthened and encouraged. A few weeks ago, I went on a 24-hour retreat. My home life tends to be a bit hectic with quite a few kids and lots of people in and out of our house. So a friend and I just went away for 24 hours. We spent some of the time talking. We went to visit an older, very spiritual guy who we both trust and spent some time talking to him, listening to him, spent some time in silence as well. And for me, that was a really significant time where some of my priorities, etc., were realigned to this, to loving or becoming more loving and to getting my own junk sorted out. So before I just pray to finish with, as I said earlier, just to reiterate, this is an encouragement to keep doing what we're doing. But before I pray, maybe just have a think now for a few seconds about how you can strengthen and encourage others that you know. May the Lord make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. May he strengthen our hearts so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father. Amen.